Support for this podcast and the following message come from the United States Postal Service. Turn shipping to your advantage with USPS Ground Advantage service. Learn how to gain a competitive edge at usps.com/advantage. USPS Ground Advantage. Simple, affordable, reliable.
Hey, I'm Kelly McEvers, and this is Embedded from NPR. One thing before we start our episode. I just want to say, many people we talk to for this series ask that we only use their first names. The memories they're sharing are raw and sensitive, and we're going to honor their requests. So, last time on Buffalo Extreme, we got to know the kids, the coaches, and the parents who are part of a dance and cheer gym in Buffalo, the Buffalo All-Star Extreme, otherwise known as BASE. Their gym is only a few blocks away from where, in May 2022, a white man murdered 10 black people at the Tops grocery store. And he killed them because they were black. After the massacre, Coach Yanni, who runs BASE, didn't want to stay at the gym. Neither did the kids. But it's not easy to just start a whole new gym. It took them nearly a half a year to reopen in a new spot. And that's where we're going to start today. Just like last time, your host is junior coach Nakia McCann. She grew up doing competitive cheerleading at BASE. This is her community. Here's Nakia.
At the end of October, finally we got hit with some good news. The grand opening of the new gym.
And I think we're coming up on it, 600 feet, 300 feet, BASE.
Lakeisha and her girls, Cupcake and Nysera, the first thing that they saw when they pulled up was the BASE sign.
I see it.
It's theirs now.
All right, ladies.
This is their home.
Okay, let's go in.
Okay, so we're the so-called news reporters. So we're walking into the building, and it's pretty loud. They're playing music.
Red, white, and blue everywhere.
It's pretty cool.
Wow.
That bouncy spring mat.
It's amazing. Yes, it's amazing.
She just did a back handspring series and then landed in a split.
And she did 8 back handspring into a split at that.
4, 5, 6, 7.
What the new gym meant to girls like Nysera and Cupcake and Milani and Chrissy, I think it was a sense of, let's go get this. Let's go get it. But they had to get back to work really fast. It was all gas and no brakes.
Here we go. Ready, and 5, 6, 7, and dip, kick, drop.
We're finna do choreography today so that we can, like, win.
Grab closer to her thigh.
Coach Yanni usually hires a choreographer.
There'll be 2 choreographies going on at the same exact time from 2 different coaches.
Chest up, Liana.
Usually around choreography time, Auntie Yanni is kind of stressed. This year, I feel like she was more stressed than usual because they were way behind.
We compete in 6 weeks.
Sorry, your hands are wrong.
We normally get choreography, like, August, September, but because of what happened in May, then we had to find a new gym, and then it took us forever to get the building together, and we're still not done. And most people, they've already had 5 months of practice. We have 6 weeks to practice. So I'm big nervous.
Hold on, hold on. Listen, pay attention.
A 2-minute and 30-second routine sounds very short, but to choreograph it and break it down into elements of what a cheer routine needs is very hard.
Make sure you get her hip up, okay? Here we go.
It's a full 2-3 days of back-to-back straining of your body for hours at a time.
Okay. Make that, now make it prettier. Be a little more dynamic.
Choreography is honestly hell.
Kick and arch.
You find out if you're in the front, if you get shine, or if you're in the back, you gotta, like, duck down.
We're gonna do jumps right here. So, everyone crisscross applesauce.
When he asks who wants to be center jumper, and everybody's raising their hand and being like, me.
Me.
Everybody has to try out.
Okay, who are the stronger jumpers?
My jumps are kind of low when I'm out of breath. So I give that one.
Okay, wait, stop. Let me see it. Let's see, you got one chance. Ready?
Swing, hit, swing.
So basically what just happened was I took the top spot. So, like, I'm excited.
Not necessarily. Let me see it again.
Yanni put Nysera in the center jump spot. But in cheer, there is no guarantee that she will keep that spot.
Don't give me that, because I'll take your season away.
I'm enjoying it too much for you to do that.
Cheer does teach you that you do good, you get the center spot.
Nysera, this year she is doing so amazing.
Your hard work pays off.
My little baby.
That's how life is supposed to work. You do good, you get good. But cheer and life are two different roads. And after the Tops massacre, that is something that everybody had to learn. When I went back to college in the fall, after it happened, I felt as if nobody, especially at school around me, would understand how big of an impact that had, you know, on me. I didn't personally lose anyone. So, you know, should I be sad or do I have a right to feel this way? I just swallowed my emotions and I swallowed it just for it to eat me up.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Which leads me to another base mom, Dominique.
I say that everybody deals with trauma differently.
Yeah.
Some people have thrown themselves into, you know, activism, and some people, you know, don't want to speak to anybody because it's like you, now what next?
Dominique is not only a cheer and dance mom.
My younger one, she lives dance.
But she's also an activist.
You know, we wanted to recognize that and just bring a moment of solidarity.
She even ran for elected office.
For county legislature seat covering the east side of the city.
Dominique loved Buffalo. She came from the suburbs to the east side of Buffalo so she can make a change.
I said to myself, I'm going to move into the heart of the city and help the people, and I'm going to change the world.
She just was like, I'm never leaving. I'm here to help.
Asiani even has a nickname for her.
Captain Save Underdog. Like, that's, she's a cape that says that because she's always for the underdog.
But after May 14th, a lot of people started thinking about moving away and actually did move.
Bye, old house.
Bye, old house.
Dominique moved all the way to Atlanta.
Bye, Buffalo.
Bye, Buffalo.
So we're going to get into the interview. I don't really like to call it an interview because I really like to call it more of like a conversation.
Yes. So you know that that day was like an open house.
May 14th, 2022, Dominique had the same plan that everybody in base did, dropping her two girls off to figure out what team they would be on and laugh and smile and have snacks with Coach Yanni.
Hello.
One was 7 at the time and the other 8. The younger one is Denver, and she's on the cheer team.
My favorite thing to do is run around.
The older one is Demi.
And I do dance.
Usually Yanni has snacks, but she only had her popcorn that day, which they ate up. And we're expecting like a bigger treat, so they wanted ice cream.
I said, well, we're just going to go to Tops for ice cream. And Denver said, oh, great, this is going to be the best summer ever. And so I'm driving through the parking lot, and then all of a sudden you just hear, you know, I thought it was a car. Then I started smelling what I thought to be like the smoke from the car. When I very first heard someone scream out, my baby. And so I, skirt! I parked the car and I told the girls, you know, stay right here. Don't get out the car. I'm about to go see what's going on if I can help.
Julie Hartwell, seen here falling to the ground, inconsolable.
Julie Hartwell, now she is one of our base moms. But the first time I saw her was on the news.
Her partner and 8-year-old daughter were inside.
We're at the back of Tops where, like, the dairy was. And London whispered in her dad's ear, let's go find Mom a cake.
Julie Hartwell was there because she wants to get a cake to celebrate her birthday.
So they ran off and they went to the cake aisle. And all we heard was shots ring out. So I got down on the floor and I start military crawling. I was still thinking of London that whole time. She could be shot, she could be hurt. Like, he was shooting through, like, aisles and items to shoot at people. Like, he was trying to, like, literally hunt us like we were, like, cattle or something.
Julie escaped through the back exit.
I ran to the nearest house. And it was crazy because, like, I'm like, wait a minute. London is not with me. So I start screaming and just like, oh my God. Like, it was still, when we got outside, it was still shots going on. So I ran back because I was like, I can't leave my daughter in there. Like, I didn't think of nothing. I didn't know I was going to do when I got back in there. I just wanted to get back in there. But the police were there in 2 seconds and they stopped me and they restrained me. And they're like, what's wrong? And I'm like, I just was in there. My daughter and my boyfriend is in there.
A lot of people remember Julie screaming for her daughter.
That's when I seen Julie. She had on a pink shirt.
Dominique, without any knowledge of like what was truly, truly going on, she ran up to Julie.
And all around her, there were bodies. I could not believe that I was actually looking at people, you know, laying in the Tops parking lot, dead. That's when somebody screamed, he's in there killing people. And I froze, you know, I was in shock.
She was crying.
Demi, her oldest daughter, was trying to figure out what was going on.
She called her dad and then our grandma.
When I got back in the car, the girls, they did ask, did that lady find her daughter?
In that moment, Dominique didn't have any answers.
We still hearing gunshots and stuff outside. And so I told him, I don't know yet, babies. I don't know.
Eventually, we all found out what happened.
We want to start tonight with the story of perhaps the youngest survivor of this horrific attack, 8-year-old London Thomas.
We went to the back of the store where the milk is.
She just had one of those stories that was like everybody wanted a chance to get news coverage on it.
London and her dad, Lamont Thomas, rushed to the back of the store, hiding in a cooler, Lamont's hand over London's mouth.
I was scared for my mom. I did not know what happened to her because she was at the front and I was at the back. I didn't know where she was. I thought she was gone.
During the weeks after the Tops massacre, Julie was on the news consistently.
Hi.
If you see videos of her, Julie sounded like shaken up.
My daughter has to grow up. I don't know even what to say to her anymore. I don't even have an.
A lot of people thanked her for speaking out and being that voice of the victims of the Tops massacre.
Yeah, I felt like speaking made me feel better about it. People need to hear it.
Dominique, she wanted to lend a helping hand to Julie.
I didn't know London even had a background in dance, but the very first thing I thought of is she's traumatized. I called Ayanna and I said, Ayanna, I got a little girl. She needs some type of scholarship or something.
She was like, they have a full year scholarship for London for majorette.
Majorette is the style of dance from historically black colleges.
She watches it on TV, like Dancing Dolls.
I want to try this trick first to give you a new, fresh look.
Dancing Dolls is a famous majorette dance team in Mississippi with their own show.
There's no way I'm letting these little black ice cubes take us down.
And London's been talking about this for about 2 years. She always wanted to try majorette, and she is a good dancer.
For a girl who grew up watching Dancing Dolls, getting a scholarship from BASE was a huge deal.
They are paying all expenses, all the costumes, everything. She just felt so happy.
People really wanted to help and get involved after the Tops massacre. A lot of organizations came together and tried to help the community best as they could. Me, my mom, and my brother, we passed out hot plates. My mom was in charge of like passing out the food and going to people's cars. Me and my brother were in charge of like giving like a cookie or a ring pop. I feel like if I do good, I'll feel good. And for the 2 or 3 hours that we were helping, it felt like it was working. Like I felt like just seeing everybody smile when I gave them dinners, you know, like it started like, you know, going away. But like once it was over, the community service was over and I went home, like that feeling came back again. It was nothing that I could do to make that feeling go away. Julie was truly grateful for the help, but some of the things that were being offered were kind of weird.
It was just like a circus every day. Like, oh, here's tickets to the Sabres game. Like, I understand the gifts. I appreciate them, but it was just like, we don't even want to go outside. So why? What? Like, the first 2 months, 3 months, I did not go anywhere. Because every time I walk outside, I have to be right next to what happened or, you know, always reminded of it. So I wasn't going to Sabres games or, and then people come in to tour Tops, like the president.
Jill and I bring you this message from deep in our nation's soul.
The Bills team wanted to meet us.
Again, we're here to brighten people's days and try to help move past this and share the grief with our community and let them know that, you know, we care and we want to hold that with them.
It was just like people really didn't ask, well, where did you really need help in? What did you, are you psychologically okay?
Therapy was offered and Julie did sign up, but she didn't stay for long.
They gave me a white man. I'm like, how can he help me? Not to be funny. I'm not trying to be funny at all. But I'm being like serious, like how? He came out to meet me and said, I'll be right with you, and I just left. I don't know. I couldn't do it.
We'll be right back.
Support for this NPR podcast and the following message come from Amgen, a biotechnology pioneer leading the fight against the world's toughest diseases such as cancer, heart disease, asthma, and osteoporosis. In a new era of human health, Amgen continues to accelerate the pace of change, operating sustainably and drawing upon deep knowledge of science to push beyond what's known today. With each decade, they reliably deliver powerful new therapies to patients. Learn more at Amgen.com. Support for this podcast and the following message come from Macmillan Audio. Following 10 years of reporting experience in the Middle East, 3-time Pulitzer Prize winner Thomas L. Friedman penned one of the most thought-provoking works about the region ever written, From Beirut to Jerusalem. The audiobook, now available unabridged for the first time and featuring a new preface read by the author, is filled with information that will continue to shape how people view the Middle East for years to come. Find From Beirut to Jerusalem wherever audiobooks are sold.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Oracle Cloud Infrastructure. OCI is the platform for database, application development, and AI needs. Do more and spend less, like Uber, 8x8, and Databricks Mosaic. Take a free test drive at oracle.com/NPR. Support for this podcast and the following message come from Integrative Therapeutics, with vitamins and supplements previously available only through practitioners, including Cortisol Manager. Unlock your best self with clinician-curated supplements from Integrative Therapeutics, now on Amazon.
Okay, close your eyes for a second. Now imagine you're on your dream vacation. No work calls to answer, no text messages to respond to, just your suitcase and an opportunity.
The opportunity to just take yourself out of your routine and travel deeper.
How to actually take that dream trip. That's on the Life Kit podcast from NPR.
A couple of things I've learned from the conversations I've had. Coping comes in many different shapes and sizes and fonts. You know, like going to counseling does not help everybody. But Dominique was the opposite. Dominique's overall attitude towards therapy was always positive.
I feel like counseling is very important, especially to the youth.
On May 14th, Demi and Denver, they had to sit in the car and wait for their mom to come back, not knowing like what was happening on the outside. When she got back, she was also frantic. Like, we got to get out of here immediately.
We spoke about things that I don't even know how to respond to. As a parent, we don't know everything. You know, I don't know everything. I think that I'm educated, but I'm no counselor.
The first person that they talked to was a school counselor.
Miss Jenna, who was their white counselor, she was amazing. But I feel like it is a different space when you're speaking to someone that looks like you, because now you can feel comfortable with telling your story without someone feeling uncomfortable with how you're telling the story or what you're feeling about the story.
When Dominique looked for Black therapists in her insurance, she couldn't find any. But there was one organization that helped find Black therapists and counselors, and they actually paid for Dominique's girls to have therapy.
My counselor named Kalisha, oh, Kanisha, she is a nice counselor.
I gotta figure out a name for my cover. I think I'm gonna call
it... Let's go hiking in the mountains.
I'm this, like, new lady with all these cool toys.
Kanisha is not just a therapist as far as them just talking. She creates activities for them to express their feelings in a kid manner.
We did Uno, we guessed cards, and we played fun games.
You want me to do it with blue, or do you want me to do it with a different color?
Different color.
What color are we thinking?
Therapy is confidential, but the girls gave permission, Dominique gave permission, Kanisha also gave her permission.
How do you spell problem? Oh, no. Can I have
do you need help?
You mean another one?
I really like how Kanisha doesn't use the word safe.
I don't push the idea that this is a safe space. I think it's almost like this gaslighty thing where I'm going, but this is safe, but this is safe, and you're like all over the place.
Kanisha seems more like, I'm going to give you these tools to protect yourself emotionally.
I do a lot of, like, what we call parts work. Well, I might say, like, there's a part of you that's really upset by what happened. What does that part need to feel okay?
She said on the next time we'll be making shields.
They're making an armor.
Because we were fighting our feeling monster. If you feel something, like, sad or mad or frustrated or surprised, you can fight the dragon off.
What else have you guys made since you've been there?
A monster gobbler. If you're feeling mad, frustrated, surprised, you can put them in and gobble, 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 gobble.
Remember we talked before about how, you know, when we go through something really scary, how certain things can remind us of it, right? The biggest thing was that it was scary.
And I decided just to watch some YouTube videos again.
Yeah. What made you watch YouTube videos?
Because I just wanted to take everything off my mind.
Yeah. Did it work?
Yes.
They're absolutely able to say that they're scared, you know, but it's also they're angry. So when you guys talked about a day later, when you talked about what happened and your mom was telling you about people that were hurt and stuff like that.
Yeah,
and
she told us the whole story.
Yeah. When she explained it, how she explained it to you.
She was like, at Tops, 13 people were in there, the children and stuff. And then 10 people died and 3 people were injured.
Yeah. I know they talked a lot about just the racial aspect and how it wasn't fair that, you know, it was because they're Black. And as a kid, you're always just trying to make sense of something. So in their brain, it just, it's nonsensical.
Did you guys...
And the officers feel the Black man, they would probably show him by now.
Yeah. It's got to be really upsetting to think about that. Yeah. So when you say that, like, if it would have been a Black guy that would have did it, you think that the only reason why he was able to, like, put his gun down and not get hurt was because he was a white guy?
Yeah.
I know some kids probably feel, like, really angry or really confused, really frustrated. Yeah.
I think we have this desire to feel like that's a grown-up feeling, you know, but it's not. We see it in their behaviors. We see it every day. So I think, you know, in a lot of, especially all white spaces, I want to tamper it down because I'm so terrified that that anger is going to lead to something. I think it's also, I want the grown-ups around me to be happy, and I see that it's affected them, and I see that they're not the same, you know. So I think it's also a wanting, like, everybody to just be fine again.
If you were in Buffalo, it was very hard to miss the arguments and the fights and the constant battle of what should we do next and is this the right decision. I felt like it was a Buffalo versus Buffalo thing. There was a lot of money being raised for the east side of Buffalo, and with money comes fights. Dominique, for example, was frustrated with where this money was being distributed and how was it being distributed and where is it at.
A lot of organizations got money specifically for the Tops incident. That money does not mean it's for your pockets. It doesn't mean it's for, you know, what you want it to be for. And I just found it just real disheartening with how many organizations got those funds and chose not to help the people that were directly involved or affected in some way that live in that area.
Dominique was firsthand seeing the effect that the Tops massacre had on the east side because she lived so closely to it.
I know someone who got evicted during all of this, who was in the store. You know, she should never have gotten evicted. People like Julie, who her daughter, you know, needed assistance with items going to school.
Everybody that I know is going through stuff financially because they're scared to go to work. They're scared to do other things.
Julie did receive some money, but it only helped for a short amount of time.
I had a panic attack at work. I just start hyperventilating and it's real. When you feel like an elephant's on your chest. So it was just too soon. I'm sleeping better now, but I wasn't sleeping at all.
Giving money to somebody don't take away the fact of what they went through. The feeling of knowing that everybody was on edge definitely trickled down to the kids.
They see the effect that it has on everything around them. You know, it's in their neighborhood. Everything in their life has completely shifted. They started talking about opening Tops up again. What did you guys think of that when they started talking about all of that?
Yeah, since we're like a block away from it, I felt sad, like, way.
If you could ask the people of Tops, like, any question or tell them anything, what would you tell them?
Don't open Tops again. Shut this place down. There's dead people, bodies in there. I don't want to step in a place that had dead bodies.
In their next session...
Well, we about to go to Miss Kenesha.
They were going to write their stories.
What was the stories about?
The top. Remember the Tops problem?
The Tops problem.
Who can give me some examples of why we tell our story? You. Why do we tell
because
our story?
Because you don't tell your story, then you have yucky stuff in your head, and then you can't stop thinking about it, and you will have bad dreams about it, and then your head's going to be filled with yucky stuff.
That's such a good point, that if I have yucky stuff in my head, that if I tell my story, I get it out of my head, so it's not there forever. What we do is we write the narrative, and I'll do like a bare bones, just a very like quick account of what happened. And then I'll say, we'll go in and we'll add the setting. And then we'll go in and we'll add more sensory stuff. Was it a cold day? What were you feeling?
Miss Kanisha is listening to Demi and Denver, and then she writes it down and then turns it into their own book.
Next, we went back home.
Then you'll notice their stories, though similar, are very different. Demi really looked at it and how is this affecting the people around me? They look so much up to mom, and mom's super strong. And I think being in this space of like, you know, I can definitely tell something's off because mom's really worried. So your mom called your dad, she called your grandma. What were you guys thinking when she was on the phone with them?
She's like, oh no, oh no.
She talked a lot about just the phone tag that she watched her mom play with, like, her grandma and everybody in the family.
She called our dad first. She was crying.
Could you hear what she was telling them?
Yeah. Well, I was like, where are you? Where are you?
You know, and that's sort of where she was really fixated on is the panic that she saw in everybody else. What's really interesting is that they both did internalize it very differently.
For Denver, the younger one, her story was a little different. Her story was about guilt.
Her account of the story is very tinged with that.
She felt like she'd done something.
Well, you said, I wish I would have never said something bad would happen because then it would not have happened. What do you mean? So it was...
I mean...
You caused the shooting?
Yes.
How so?
Because I said nothing bad will happen.
She had asked... or said to herself that she hoped it was a good summer and the fact that it was a bad summer, like she had jinxed it somehow, and she carried that. And it was very, very, it was there.
I think it was all my fault since I said last night, nothing bad will happen in the summer.
How do you think that was making you feel that you were thinking
mad
that it was your fault?
At myself and sad and frustrated.
One of the first things that we sort of learn in this world as kids is this just world belief that good things happen to good people and bad things happen to bad people. If I clean my room, I'll watch, you know, TV. If I don't listen, I can't get dessert.
If a kid gets in trouble, especially like a base kid, honestly, my babies will always ask me, like, why, Coach Kaya? Why do I have to sit down right here? Like, why? We teach kids that, you know, you do good, you get good. And if you do bad, you get punishment. So it was hard for them to grasp that, like, this is going on because of somebody else. You look down, you look at your skin every day. So given that some of these kids know that it was race, they were like, well, these innocent black people didn't do anything but wake up, go to the grocery store and be black. Well, like, now am I wrong because I'm black? Like, is everything that I do going to be wrong because of my skin color? Is everything that I do going to get a punishment because I'm black?
I must be bad because something bad happened to me. Because the alternative that randomly things can just happen is really hard to process.
That's really hard, especially with something like this. Just make you feel like powerless and make you feel like you don't control nothing in your life.
It's scary to think that I could just go outside and... something can happen.
Who would have thought a guy would have walked into literally houses down from where I live while I'm driving in the parking lot and started murdering people?
Even Dominique was scared.
That was my final moment because it's like, I don't want anything to be happening to my kids. Right? When y'all leave now?
January the 5th is when the movers come, so yeah.
I love Buffalo, but
I'm so mad at you.
We're moving.
I'ma miss you.
Yeah, we're moving to Atlanta.
You know this was my baby, baby.
Yeah.
Just because I cannot, like, I don't feel safe, and I'm gonna miss Base, and I'm gonna miss Ayana.
Give me a hug, Ayana.
I know. But I don't feel that the response from the city was adequate. I don't feel the response from the police was adequate. And I don't want to live at a memorial every day, which I have to ride past.
Now, what about when you guys go down to Atlanta? Are you guys going to be scared to join a new dance crew?
Like, kind of.
Yes, I am.
Like, kind of and kind of not.
Okay, well, tell me about it.
Right before Dominique decided to pack her family up and go, Buffalo had a terrible snowstorm.
The worst storm ever seen around Buffalo, New York hit the region. Power
was not. You know, at first my daughter came and she was like, oh, I have snow pouring in my room, like soft snow blowing in her room. And downstairs, our living room did the same thing. Pipes had broke, our windows cracked.
I don't know how, but it was a crack.
Dominique and her family, along with so many other families, had to get out and find electricity.
People that have been without power since Friday.
Shelter and food.
Several feet of snow blanketed cars, roads, and homes.
More than 30 people have died because of the winter.
Seeing my city in news headlines again, honestly, feel like we will never get a break.
And many of those deaths are concentrated in or near Buffalo, New York.
And once again, the east side of Buffalo had trouble getting back on their feet. The streets weren't getting plowed fast enough. Help wasn't getting sent fast enough. And it seemed like nobody cared about our side.
Yeah? What about this blizzard?
Snow was getting on my walls. Snow was getting on her floor.
The couple days after the storm, Demi and Denver got to their therapy session.
I was really hoping that I had a good Christmas. And then we had a blizzard. Ooh, is that my fault?
No, it's my fault. You know why?
Why is that?
I said we won't have no snow for Christmas.
Denver was in the mind space of it was her fault all over again.
And I just think about how, as adults, we naturally want to go, it's not your fault.
And then the snow gave her what she wants, a blizzard.
And how, even in a space of kindness, that feels invalidating.
They have no gas, they don't have no heat.
You know, that makes a kid feel like, well, then my feelings are too big for you. You know, it's too much for you. You don't want to hear this.
That was pretty sad, yeah.
We'll be back in a minute.
This message comes from Jackson. Let's face it, retirement planning can be confusing. At Jackson, we're working to make retirement clear for everyone, starting with you. Our easy-to-understand resources and user-friendly digital tools help simplify your entire experience. You can have confidence in your retirement with clarity from Jackson. Seek the clarity you deserve at Jackson.com. Jackson is short for Jackson Financial Incorporated, Jackson National Life Insurance Company, Lansing, Michigan, and Jackson National Life Insurance Company of New York, Purchase, New York. This message comes from NPR sponsor, Lisa. Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between Lisa and West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is expertly crafted from natural latex, natural wool, and certified safe foams to elevate your sleep sanctuary and support a greener tomorrow. Plus, every purchase helps fuel Lisa's work with shelters and those in need. Visit Lisa.com to learn more. That's LEESA.com.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Shopify, the global commerce platform that helps you sell and show up exactly the way you want to. Customize your online store to your style. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/NPR. This message comes from NPR sponsor BritBox, streaming acclaimed original series you won't find anywhere else. With powerful performances from Jodie Whittaker, Tamara Lawrence, Bella Ramsey, Matthew McFadyen, and more. Streaming at BritBox.com/NPR.
The Indicator from Planet Money is all in on video games. Not just because they're a fun hobby. Video games are one of the fastest growing businesses worldwide, worth more than the film and music industries combined.
We're seeing some games that are really taking, $500 million to make.
We're taking a week-long look at the video game industry. Listen to the Indicator from Planet Money podcast on NPR.
In January, that was around New Year, so it was a time for us to be like, you know, let's start fresh. Let's close this entire book. Let's not even go to the next chapter of this book. Let's start a whole new one. But
girl, I'm telling you, it's like one thing after the other. I swear to goodness, we cannot seem to catch a break.
Back at base, Auntie Yanni, she was just blunt and realistic about the new year.
The plow truck for the city plowed the snow up to the garage door and pushed my garage door open. So it snowed inside of the gym.
This was right before the girls were supposed to be competing for their first competition.
Like, there was going to be a lot of practices there. And then we couldn't even get into the gym. So we lost 1, 2, 3. That was 4 days of practice right there lost.
Auntie Yanni decided to cancel the January comp and focus on the February competition.
I just couldn't have them go out there and looking crazy because I could have done more trauma than good.
Come on, you're late. 2 minutes late. Let's go. Let's go.
Auntie Yanni went back to being real hardcore.
I wanted the win for them more than anything this season. Out of 9 seasons, I wanted so much more for them. Like, God, please just let them have a good season. I knew I was going to be tougher this season than any other season. I knew I was going to make a lot of people cry.
Lock your legs, you understand?
I was really tough this season. I was so tough.
Ain't nobody going to do nothing. We're going to look stupid out there.
I'm not even going to sugarcoat it at all. I wanted the W bad, especially for my kids that went through all the BS.
Get it together. Go out there and fight. Why am I here if you're not going to fight? I'm sick of it.
I wanted to prove to them and everyone else, like, I don't give a damn where you start. Get it together and get it, go to the top.
What's wrong with you?
I'm not a good flyer.
So? Become a good flyer.
You're the underdog, and we're not going to stay here. I refuse to stay here.
We don't hit. We got time for one more after this one. Ready? Facials. Yo!
I be thinking she mad. I'm not even going to lie. Is it hard when she's mad? A little.
I just let her yell at me because she's yelling at me to get me better.
It makes no sense to even try if we're not going to do it. Come on, so I can stop being mean. We're almost done. Come on.
She loves all of us. Like, I know she loves all of us, like, because she...
Yeah, we're like her second daughters.
You tired? Yes! Oh, let's keep going then.
Without this team, I don't know what I do.
Y'all ready? Here we go. 5, 6, 7. Go. 1, 3, 5, 7.
Hi, guys. It is a week before competition. Whoop, whoop. And I am so excited to talk to you guys right now.
In February, they were finally getting ready for their first competition in Niagara Falls.
We are on the way to go pick up my uniform.
Are you excited?
Yes, I'm excited.
Are you scared?
I'm a little scared, but I think I can do it.
You do the best that you can, and you have fun, and you smile. You know, you have to smile. If you're not smiling, you lose points, and it takes away from the experience. We have to do our best so we can get a spot in Jacksonville, Florida.
To get a spot at Nationals in Florida, you must place top 3 at a regional competition.
I got to park across the street, but you can go in and give them your name, okay?
By the middle of the week, everybody's going to be running around trying to get everything perfect, every little detail in place.
We're going to get our hair braided. We're going to pick up red and blue lipstick for me.
Lakeisha wanted to go all out. One side of blue lipstick for Nicera and one side of red lipstick for Cupcake.
No! Also, I can't get red and blue lipstick?
No!
Oh, we're wearing it. I'm wearing it.
No.
And I'm getting red and blue eyelashes, too. Yeah.
Hey, y'all. What's up? And we on the countdown of how many days? 2 days. About 48 hours.
Wait, no. We gonna slay the floor. We gonna beat the floor up.
As the competition gets closer, I know Nicera and her sister Cupcake are both at home betting to see which one of their teams will be the best.
I know we gonna burn the floor.
Woo!
We gonna beat it. We gonna heat it up, and we gonna left no crumbs on the floor.
You ain't leaving no crumbs.
No crumbs.
We're about to perform.
Lakeisha and Nicera, along with the rest of her team, all arrive at the convention center, game ready.
First competition of the season. B-A-S-E.
Two French braids, red lipstick, uniforms on.
If they hit, they get an ice cream. The whole team.
Auntie Annie starts pumping them up to dominate the stage.
What are we doing? We're staying what? Confident the entire time, okay? Y'all got this. Oh, get it. Get it. Oh.
They get that super, you know, goofy, giggly Auntie Annie in the back.
All right, thumbs up from the judges. Taking center stage, let's welcome Buffalo All-Star Extreme Superheroes for Small Youth Level 2.
Auntie Annie runs out, and she sets herself in the middle. The kids run on the stage and hype themselves up. The Bass family is lined up. Behind the parents are the judges.
You can see Michaela's legs shake. You can see Destiny's legs shake. But the second the music starts, the confidence is insane. And to know that you instilled that confidence is just the most rewarding ever.
At first, you hear Coach Yanni counting very calmly. Then it gets more intense.
Seven, clean, one, top, three, yes, five, seven.
I'm screaming like I'm saying yes because they just hit their first stunt.
Three, top, five, seven.
Time for pyramid. Numerous hands hold up one tiny person, the back spot fighting to keep the flyer up. The job of the bass is to keep her balance and never let her touch the ground.
Seven, one, three.
And if everybody is doing their job, the stunt hits.
Seven.
She's up there looking effortless.
One, three, down, five, seven.
Do you hear the silence? Auntie Annie just stops counting.
They just hit the top of the pyramid, which they struggled with all. And then I think I just was like.
I think that she was proud and she didn't have any words to explain what she was seeing on the floor.
So we're like all doing the big group hugs.
That was so good. Not too quiet.
I think Nysera is confused knowing that she moved Auntie Annie to tears with their performance.
Not too quiet.
Get me away from these people. I don't even fucking cry. Like, what is this? I'm like, I couldn't even breathe. I just started shaking.
We hit it! We hit it! We hit it!
Ice cream, go ahead.
We did so good and she went to buy it, so I'm just kidding.
Can I get chocolate and vanilla twist?
Y'all, this ice cream is so good.
Although you see the tears and the hugs and they went to go get ice cream after, they actually did not win. The judges gave them pretty big deductions. So she went to the judges' table.
I'm sorry to interrupt real quick.
And was trying to figure out why.
Where do I want,
what do you want?
I just have a question. Where do I go to see where I got a deduction? I don't understand.
Hold on, I'll get that thing.
Okay.
So when she's in the bridge and the stunts, on
a
the
bridge
left
and
side,
a stunt. Okay, that's in the arch. Okay.
Okay, so her head went lower than her feet. It's an illegality.
No, I got it. The drawing helped a lot.
Okay,
thank you.
My stick people.
Look, they're gonna be butt hurt, but it's okay. It's our first comp, and it's only gonna get better. I'm not hardly worried about it. My score sheet was immaculate. My score sheet was crazy good.
All right, session three. Parents, coaches, and all spectators, let's make some noise for these tremendous athletes down here. Put
third place, high enough to get a spot for nationals.
Thank God they placed.
We're good for Florida. We're good.
I'm always going to want them to be better, but given what they've overcome throughout the year, they did good and they got good.
How many of you guys have been here all morning and day? Yes, yes.
We're going to win it the next time, best believe.
On the next and final episode of Buffalo Extreme, the girls fight their way to nationals in Florida.
Y'all saw that energy? Y'all give me that. You go out there, and I know we're sassy, right? Are we sassy? Black girls is sassy. Y'all better go out there and put some stank on it.
And in Buffalo, it's 1 year since the massacre.
And I'm looking at them like, I'm not stepping on that premises. I'm not going in that building. I'm not looking at no poem, no portrait, no shopping. I'm not getting on this bus.
That's next time. This episode of Buffalo Extreme was reported by Marianne McCune with Nakia McCann. It was produced by Marianne and by Raina Cohen with Abby Wendell. It was edited by Katie Simon and Viralyn Williams. We had production support from Nick Nevis and Taka Zen. Our team also includes Dan Gurma and Andrew Mambo. Our production manager is Lindsay McKenna. This episode was mixed by Josh Newell, and it featured local Buffalo music projects from Pro Social, Stephen Vitiello, and Superheroes by Mike Vandermouse. Cheer Mix-a-Lot. Visit our website for a full list. Our host is Nakia McCann. Liana Simstrom is our supervising producer. Embedded supervising editor is Katie Simon. Our executive producer is Irene Noguchi. Anya Grundman is NPR's Senior Vice President for Programming and Audience Development. Thanks to the team members and families of BASE who shared their stories with us and made recordings along the way. The organization that connected Dominique to a Black therapist for her daughters is Black Love Resists in the Rust. Special thanks to Alex Helmick, Nakia's friend Bree, Hannah Rosen, Tony Cavan, and Micah Ratner. To hear bonus episodes, sign up for Embedded Plus at plus.npr.org/embedded or find the Embedded channel on Apple. You will be supporting our work by doing so. Thank you. And you'll get to listen to the entire season sponsor-free. That's plus.npr.org/embedded. And thanks.
This message comes from NPR sponsor BetterHelp. It's easy to ignore your social battery and spread yourself too thin. Therapy can provide the tools and self-awareness to help you learn how to recharge, define your boundaries, and build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp Online Therapy. Fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Visit BetterHelp.com/NPR today to get 10% off your first month.
This advertisement comes from our paid sponsor, Fundrise. High interest rates mean that real estate assets are available at a discount compared to previous valuations. The Fundrise Flagship Fund plans to expand its billion-dollar real estate portfolio over the next few months. Add the Fundrise Flagship Fund to your portfolio at fundrise.com/NPR. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the fund before investing. Read the prospectus at fundrise.com/flagship.
Across America, history is often recorded on small markers. You've probably seen them on the sides of roads, in front of buildings, in the middle of nowhere. NPR's Laura Sullivan spent a year investigating thousands of markers and found a distorted version of America's history, but also curiosities, humor, and joy. Listen to the new episode of The Sunday Story on the Up First podcast from NPR.